Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and it is 6:15 in the morning. Thanks, everybody.
Can you love put a being... little more livelihood in your voice? Yeah. I wasn't getting a lot of love there.
I'm so awake. Woo. No, I went to a comedy show. I got to see Tom Green last night, Adam Devine, and it was really cool. And now
you
here
saw
I am.
Adam Devine?
Yeah, and Bobby Lee. It was really great. And now I'm exhausted, and it's 6:15 in the morning.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, I chose this time fully aware that the sun may not be up in Los Angeles. So I'm sorry. And we did agree that we're never doing this again, ever, for the rest of our lives.
Not this early. Exactly. We'll have to figure it out. Like, Alexa's got her tight schedule coming up where it's like, okay, we need to figure out the time that works for both of us. But if it's ever 6:15 in the morning, I'll find a new friend.
We'll just not do it. We do have a couple of celeb shots coming in for the next month to replace me, so they might be phasing me out. But
and as far as we know, Vaughn is Wednesdays recapping with me. As far as we know, so we'll find out. Unless like he has like baby, I don't know. What was he describing? There's just poop everywhere. Unless there's just poop everywhere.
Well, he's also like an esteemed politician and a father, so he actually has things to do, unlike us.
Exactly, but. He can always make an hour for me when Alexa is at the – is it the NL – no, that's the AL wildcard game. So I'm a Yankee fan, and I'm not going to be able to watch that because I'm going to be podcasting with Vaughn. So how's that feel?
That's way more fun.
Yeah, that's going to be great. So anyway, this is the Survivor podcast, and we're going to be doing Survivor Specialist Survivor Power Rankings for episode 2, which pretty much is the longest, most nonsensical power rankings of the season. We have 19 people. Like, who knows what, like, 8 of them are actually going to do this week.
Extreme top and an extreme bottom.
Yeah, and, like, I feel like everything in the middle, like, you can, like, tell, like, there's probably going to be people this week who just don't, like, get anything. You know, it goes from an hour and a half to an hour. There's probably going to be a reward challenge in here. We have an immunity challenge. I hope there's not a reward challenge. But if there is, you're going to have, like, 2 challenges. It's going to eat up a lot of time. You're not going to hear from nearly as many people this week. I'm sure that we'll hear all about from the community how we're already sick and tired of so many invisible characters. But it happens every season, and if you keep complaining about it, then
don't worry.
What is it? That's like psychotic, right? Doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result. So
that is probably the definition of psychotic.
It's something like that. But yeah, so we're going to do this. Anybody who is asking about Pat, if he counts as leaving without saying a word, no, because he never had his votes read. Or his torch snuffed. Yeah, and it says torch snuffed with no words. So. He didn't get his torch snuffed. He just walked. He just got. He didn't walk out. He got medevac. So
he certainly did not walk out.
Yeah, he certainly did not walk out. I was reading his thing. It sounded like he had like it sounded like he actually didn't need to be pulled. The pain was worse than what the injury was, is what it seemed like. I mean, I could be wrong, but it seems like the pain was just so bad at the time that they were worried he broke something. I don't think he actually broke anything. He had deterioration of something, which I don't really know what that means. I'm not a doctor, but I don't know.
I think like medically what happened, it was more in the family of throwing out his back, but with that pain, he couldn't walk. And he said he was on the boat and then was on the helicopter. He has zero recollection of what happened. So yeah, them pulling him was 1,000% the right call, but there's been a lot. I mean, I've seen a lot of people, and we had talked about this too, a lot of people blaming production, a lot of people going back and forth on the topic. But I think, you know, at least my take on it is it was a freak accident and thank God he's okay. It sounds like he was able to go on the pre-jury trip. It sounds like a week after it happened, he was working out again, and now he is going to physical therapy. I remember he was saying that to strengthen his back so this never happens again.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that's all like good to hear and everything. And it sounds like he's doing a lot better. It just seems like it was bad timing and it was, you know, the waves were terrible and everything. So what were you going to do? It doesn't seem like people really had a choice, but he's gone. And that means the Davids are down one. And pretty much everybody I've talked to about this so far has been like, they're rooting for a David. And I think this does come back to the whole underdogs versus like favorites thing. But it seems like the Davids were also just they got so much more heart in that first episode. Mm-hmm. I want to rewatch it, but I feel like I know more about the Davids, and even the Davids that I know less about, I feel like there's less of them than there are of the Goliaths that I feel like I'm just like, oh yeah, they were there. They were on my TV.
Yeah, because their content was more memorable. And I'm sure that the Goliaths put out memorable content, but I think we had talked about this a little bit before. These Davids, they're going to get a lot of love, and these Goliaths are going to get a lot of love, but just in a very different, probably less emotional way. We're going to get a lot of emotion from the Davids and a lot of cockiness from the Goliaths. And there's probably going to be the opposite on either side, but they're playing up a theme here.
Yeah. Well, I'll start it off, and I'll just say my number one is the George Bushy of Tushy. So starting it with a Goliath. I just don't see – I'm only going to refer to him as that from now on. So
nothing
the George Bushy of Tushy. He's – you got to shorten that. Was it the G-B-O-T? The G-B-O-T. The G-Bot. The G-Bot.
We just gave him his 14th nickname.
We did. So he needed another one. He needed a little bit shorter. But the George Bushy of Tushy. So the reason I have the G-Bot at number one, we got content from him. It wasn't like over-the-top content. It wasn't anything crazy. He's the strongest person on the Goliath tribe. So
definitely on the show.
He's definitely the strongest person on the show. Yeah. As I'm saying the Goliath tribe, I'm looking at the Davids and I'm like, oh yes, thank gosh. I'm not saying he's stronger than Christian. Why would I do such
a thing? Please don't imply such absurd claims.
Yeah. So, but I think that he's just completely safe. Like he doesn't seem like he's rubbing anybody the wrong way. It doesn't seem like anybody cares that he's a WWE wrestler. So it's just like, okay, cool. The George Bushy Atushi, he's here to stay. And he seems like he is like such like a positive guy. And this is what we were kind of talking about. He plays up his role and he think he just loves playing his role. So right now he's just playing himself, which is a lot different.
Yeah. And he was a ton of fun, and he very well could have been this way, or he could have been skewed this way, that he is this like over the top obnoxious wrestler, but he seems like a pretty cool guy, and he gave us his intro and it was hilarious. Everyone I know who watched WWE, who don't watch WWE, they were like, that confessional where he just lists and like bangs out all of his nicknames is hilarious. So he was fantastic. He was showing a little bit of love to Mike. Not any strategic content, but I think that's okay because that's not what people wanted from him in the first episode. I have him just a tiny bit lower. I have him at number five. But I also have Goliath at number one, and it's actually Kara and or Kara. So when you rewatch the show, please just let me know what her name is, because no one's really sure. But I think she's in a fantastic position. I think she has a puppy dog who is walking around with an idol right now, and he told her, he came up to her, and maybe she's into this showmance too, but I feel like he was like, this is the thing we're doing. And she was like, okay, yeah, that benefits in my favor. And I can definitely see her either running circles around him or just controlling him. And I think she's in a fantastic position because she is not going to come off as a threat to anybody.
Yeah, I had her really high, then I just kept moving her down just because I feel like on the David tribe, I have my top five there. Or like my five people who definitely aren't going this week. So I put her behind all of them. But my number two, I just have Dan because I figure he has the idol. Too. Yeah, like I feel like he's as safe as you can really be right now. Yeah, he has the idol. He has like an alliance. It seems like people really are like they keep describing him as, you know, he's so sincere and all of that. Like, so that's really positive stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that he's going to be around for a little bit. I would be absolutely floored if he went home in the second episode. So, like, yeah, Dan and the George Bushy Atoshi are right at the top here for me.
And I think with Dan, a lot of people, because he did get a couple LVP votes this week, I think a lot of people are going to look at him, and I think he's going to be edited as, like, kind of the dummy, you know, the dumb little lapdog. But like you said, everyone has had positive things to say about him. He has bad positive things to say about everybody. And that goes a lot farther than like than you think as a viewer.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. So I think that he's completely safe. And then I go on my run of five straight Davids. So I don't know if you want to do your 3-4. We know you have the G-Bot at five, but what do you
have? Yeah, I was about to say, I'll round out my top five. I have the G-Bot at five. 3 and 4, I go Christian and Gabby. Christian at number 3.
Hey, me
Gabby
too.
At number 4. Yay. This is just like our boot list. I think they're both in a great position. Everyone who I have in my top portion is someone who has an alliance because surprisingly enough and satisfyingly enough, there wasn't a ton of strategy talk in this first episode. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that there wasn't a tribal council and there wasn't even the concept of a tribal council. But we saw a couple groups pair off. And I think that says a lot because if they're giving a lot of emotional content, people are pairing off, that actually means something. They didn't just show us Lyrsa and Elizabeth chatting and saying that this is going to happen because if it doesn't, because they could have given them emotional content and they didn't. But Christian, I mean, he did fantastic in the first episode. He was very well composed, super endearing. Everyone likes him. And he and Gabby seem like a really good duo. She seems very level-headed. She got a lot of love during the evacuation scene. She had a lot of good things to say. I think the two of them are in a great position.
Yeah, I mean, I have them at 3 and 4. I think like they were my first two picks on the fantasy draft. I have Gabby as my winner pick. I really like Christian. I think the two of them are safe. My 5, 6, 7, I go Davey, Elizabeth, Carl. And the reason I have Davey this high up, and like I know he doesn't really have
I
much.
I caught an octopus.
Yeah, well, he caught an octopus. He just seems like so lighthearted on that tribe, a tribe that's just full of like dread at the moment. Where it's like everybody's like, hey, how can I tell a story that would make you like sadder than the last story? He just seems like he's like a positive force there. So I really like him on this tribe. I really like the way that he's set up with the people that are around him. You know, I mean, it seemed like him and he was talking to Jessica a little bit, or at least Jessica was talking to Carl and he was talking to Carl. So I think that helps him. Elizabeth, I like more than Lyrsa. I have Lyrsa pretty low. The reason I have Lyrsa low is because I could see other people not liking her as much or maybe voting her out. And I know Pat had said there was like he didn't really connect with Lyrsa because he said that there was a language barrier, which I really is like an accent barrier. I doubt it's like, it's not like she's sitting there speaking Spanish the entire time.
But that's one way to go about your strategy.
You know what I mean? But like, I do think like maybe like, it, you know, it comes back to the thing with Abby Maria, like people like Terry was never going to align with Abby Maria because one, she annoyed him. And then two, he couldn't understand what she was saying. And like, whatever you want to say about that, when you're on an island, the last thing you want to do when you're tired and hungry is be like, what did you say? What did you say? What did you say? And that can get really annoying. So like, I could see people maybe like not being able to connect with her as much as they can connect with somebody else, maybe because they just can't understand her. Now, I didn't have a problem with it. It doesn't seem like Elizabeth had a problem with it.
I think Mike had more subtitles than Lyrsa.
Exactly. So I'll put Elizabeth way higher, though. She's stronger. She seems like she's going to fit in better with that tribe. And then Carl. I mean, Carl was like your voice of reason that episode. Seemed like he was gunning for Nick. It seemed like if Pat didn't go, like he might have been able to do that. But it seemed like he was doing it all behind the scenes. It didn't seem like he was doing it so outwardly that he was like, no, this guy needs to go. It seemed like he was slowly planting the seeds and kind of being like, why don't you go mention this to somebody? Why don't you go mention this to somebody else? Like, I don't know. It was shown in like a pretty positive light for Carl. And I just think like he's a sleeper here. So I got him.
Like in many ways a sleeper.
Yeah, exactly.
One would say the great one.
The big one. The big
one. Oh, the big one. I thought it was a great sleep.
No, the big
sleep. I could really use a great sleep right now.
Yeah, me too. But no, so I got him at 7. I think like that's a good spot for him. You know, mm-hmm. I don't think he's in danger. I think that he's somebody who could start to become a threat, but in terms of being a threat in episode 2, I'm just not seeing it.
Fun fact about Carl, he hit his head on that boat. There's a photo of people from production carrying him out. And if you rewatch the scene, he's not in it. You don't see him in the group of people crying because I think he hit his head. He fell also and hit his head, obviously still saving the game, but he received some medical attention as well.
Wow.
So maybe he's going to come back a completely different player because it hit that part of his brain where your personality is affected. But let's hope not because he seemed like a pretty cool guy. I have Carl a tiny bit lower, but that's more because the middle of the pack of this power rankings is just a jumbled mess. I go Elizabeth 6 and Lyrissa 7. I know some would say that's high, and I completely get where you're coming from, but I was super impressed by her in the premiere. I think if she didn't do well in that first challenge, people probably would have been looking for an excuse to get rid of her. But I can't remember if Elizabeth came up to her or she came up to Elizabeth or if they were already together. But those two seem like people who would absolutely never have anything in common. But I think they both like that about each other. And I think Elizabeth, everyone is going to like Elizabeth because mm-hmm. I think like Davey, I was expecting there to be a lot of loud, explosive personality, which very well could still come out. But she seems to have kind of a more like more calming, more workhorse kind of demeanor. And I think that's going to do very well for her. And also Lyrissa has been interacting with us on social media. And so that makes me like her a lot.
Oh, has she seen? I haven't seen that. I need to
Well, she's been on, I think she made a Reddit account and whenever I post videos, she comments on them. So she's been pretty good. And she's been talking a little crap too, which I really like. She found this one comment in the preseason of this guy who just like eviscerated her. He was like, this woman has no chance of making it past the first vote. And she goes, oh really? Like question mark. It was super funny. So yeah, that's my 6 and 7. Again, either of them could very well go home, but I think it's very telling that we were shown strategic content from them instead of emotional content. Because if I was looking at this, if I saw their names on paper, I would say they were getting good emotional content.
Yeah. Well, speaking of like no emotional content, this is where I have 8. I have Jeremy. I feel like Jeremy was just there in the first episode. I really wanted to rewatch this to see like what Jeremy did. Because I had a hard time. I know
he had like one confessional.
I think he had one or two, but like they were both like very just like there. Like they were, it was like, I don't know. It was just like lines of dialogue. So I don't know. I want to like, I'm going to rewatch this. I'm going to, so I can get like a better feel for it. But with Jeremy, he's not going to go home. I mean, the Goliath tribe is big and strong and it didn't seem like he was really like trying to push for anybody to go home. You know, like if Natalie and Mike are able to turn this around and not be the first two people going home, they're not going to look for Jeremy. They're going to look for Natalia. Or they're going to look for somebody like that. Mm-hmm. So I think Jeremy's fine. I have Kara and Alec 9-10. So like Kara, I think she's safe. I think she had a really good first episode. I think Alec was so quiet the first episode that I don't think he goes home the second one. And so I think like those three, like we had a lot from Kara at the beginning and then she just like vanished. Like it was only that thing with Dan and then she was just gone. And that was right away. Like that was like maybe 15, 20 minutes into the episode. And then she just was gone the rest of the episode. So I think that I think the three of them are safe this week. I mean, you know, I feel like whoever's going to go home either has had a little bit of content in the first episode or like at least it was set up where it was like, okay, we have to give them something because they're only going to be here one more week, which is kind of like where I fall on B maybe. So I have her lower, but yeah, I think for these three, like I'd be really shocked if any of them went.
Yeah, that's a good point based on the content that they got. My 8, 9, 10 is a little random, as is the following like 5 people after that. I have Jessica at number 8. I think she's surprisingly in a really good spot. And I was not high on her going in, not because of external reasons, because I thought she was super young and wasn't going to connect with her tribe. That seems to be more of old souls. But, and also she was the one who started the emotional breakdown in the camp. And I think a lot of people very well could have been like, oh, she's crying. She can't handle this. But they all connected with her. B immediately went to comfort her. And then Nick shared his story. And I'm sure everybody else did too. And so I don't think people are going to like quote unquote credit her for this. But I think it's very telling that everyone wanted to comfort her instead of being annoyed by her. So I think Jessica's in a pretty good position. We saw her chatting with Carl for a minute. I don't know how much that sells me on them working together, but we saw her trying to make a couple moves here and there. And then I go with Allison, number nine. That's a little random, just having a Goliath and a sea of Davids. But she got a decent amount of content. She got a lot of love in the first 10 minutes. I don't think she has any reason to go home. I think she and Angelina probably have a little something going on. She's definitely going to keep digging for idols. But I think on this Goliath chart, there's like four people who would go home before Allison. So she should be, I'm not too nervous about her. And then I have Davey at 10, and that's really because his octopus content was cool. Like, he very well could go home because all he got was octopus content. But he seems to be pretty fun, pretty lighthearted. We saw him chatting with Carl. So I think he's in an okay spot.
Yeah, I have Allison at 11 and Jessica at 12. So, okay. Like, and I think both of them are fine. I don't really start to think that people can go home till 14. Like, I have 13, I have Angelina, just because I thought Angelina's content was, yeah, she had the positive of like, oh, women should try to find more idols. But also the fact that she didn't find the idol makes me kind of think that women aren't going to find idols on this season.
That was,
and that's
like,
going to be a theme.
Who was it? Stephanie and Jenna last season.
Yeah. Like,
we
almost
thought they were going to get it, and then Brendan got it.
I almost feel like that's going to be a theme here where it's like, oh, we're going to find idols. Now we're not finding any. But the reason I like Allison and Jessica, I actually think Jessica had a really good first episode. I had her higher, and I just kept moving her down because I just thought, I kept on saying, like, if anybody were to quit or if anybody were to be like, I can't do this anymore, it would be her. She's the one who would just be like, I don't want to be here. I've had enough. Like, you could see she broke down first. And granted, I think that she got like a positive spin on her breakdown. Everybody kind of came to her aid, like you said. But just in case somebody was going to be like, please just get me out of here with the rain and everything like that, I think it would be Jessica. Yeah, so, and then Allison at 11. Allison's fine, at least early on. I mean, they picked her as the strongest woman on their tribe, so I don't think that means they're going to go for her. She wasn't really stirring anything up. Like, Natalia was the one who was speaking out about Natalie just stands there. Allison really didn't have much content about that. So I think that those three are all fine, and that's when I start to get into people who could probably go home.
Mm-hmm. What number are you on?
I just finished 13.
Okay, so I'll get down to 13. So I go Carl at 11, Angelina at 12, and Jeremy at 13. Jeremy's a little lower than I expected, and that's probably because I can't really remember what he said. But I feel like there was one bit of negativity around him, but I'm not even grasping it, so I could be completely making that up. But I think Carl's fine. I think this injury might not be great for him because I can't remember how athletic he was or how well he did in the challenges, but I think having a head trauma like that and then having the trauma of watching someone else get evacuated right in front of you probably doesn't help. But everyone seems to be coming to him, like you said. Everyone seems to really respect him and want his opinion. And then with Angelina, she got a lot of content, a lot of positive content, even though, yeah, she got the whole like, ooh, we're Goliaths, we're better than everybody. But I'm sure she is not the only person who had that thought or even had that confessional. They just decided to give that one to her.
Yeah.
So I'm not too nervous for any of them. I think now we're about to get into the people who I think could go home. But I just didn't get enough content from any of them that could sway me.
Yeah. 14, I have Nick. This is like a little bit high maybe, but I think that with Nick, like, if you're going to keep losing, you're not going to vote out one of your stronger people, even if he doesn't do anything around camp.
That's very high.
Yeah. I just don't think they vote him out this early. He also had the most confessionals in the premiere, which I think is like telling of he's going to be a focal point. I think he's like almost saved by Pat, and now he just keeps going through. Somebody else will like cause a ruckus. So I think that Nick's going to be okay. If you're going to keep losing, you can't lose Pat and Nick back to back and expect to be able to compete with the Goliath tribe.
Does Nick, and this isn't a knock on Nick, this is just out of curiosity. I guess I'm looking at the other guys on the tribe, and I guess that answers my question.
He's the strongest.
Is he the strongest guy? Like, he wouldn't strike me as that.
He's stronger than Christian. So that's for sure.
Davey's definitely stronger than Nick.
Davey's stronger than Nick. Carl's older, so I don't really know if Carl's stronger. Carl's thin and he looks fit, but like Carl's also older. So yeah, I think you need to keep Nick around in this situation. Like, you can't just dump off Nick.
Christian, Davey, Carl. Oh, that's it. There's only four guys.
Pat goes home. Pat was definitely their biggest guy.
Pat is going. Yeah. I think Nick, I'm so, I mean, people will always be curious about this, but Pat was pretty adamant that Nick was going to go home. I think he's onto something. I think it probably would have been Nick or Pat based on what we were getting from Pat, but Nick very well could be could be really saved by what happened with Pat here. Mm-hmm. So he might be able to make a connection with someone. I have him at the bottom because I think the goal, I think the Davids very well could lose again. So I have him at 19, spoiler alert.
Wow. I'd be at 15.
So I actually, great transition. I'd be at 14.
We swap our 14 to 19.
I know, good little switch. And this is, I just don't really know what to do with her. I liked what I got from her, but I think we could have gotten a lot more. I hope her and Jessica have something going. So I think Jessica has some connections, but I don't know. I think B got the content that a second boot could very well get. Like, we got something emotional from her and we learned about her, and then she'll get like one confessional on Wednesday and then go home.
Yeah, and that was the thing. Like, everybody else seemed like they were bonding with each other, and it seemed like B was bonding, but like more with the camera than with what was going on the tribe. Like, she said something and then she got her confessional about that, but that's like all she got. Didn't seem like she really made connections with anybody. We saw Jessica talking to her a little bit while they were weaving or whatever they were doing. But it seemed like then Jessica ran over and was like, okay, now I'm going to go find other friends. Like that didn't work as well. So now I'm going to go talk to Davey and Carl and everybody. Like, and I think that she could be in a lot of trouble. So I'm glad we swap our 14 and 19, which is what we did with Jessica and Pat in our bootless game with 16 and 9, I think, or 16 and 7. Uh-huh. And I win that battle.
Yeah, so that one was not good.
Two for two.
So I go to my 15, and I actually wish I put her higher. And I'll explain why in a minute. I have Natalia at number 15.
Me too.
Mostly I want her higher because she had the funniest gif of all time of her literally appearing out of thin air to ask Mike if he was on The Amazing Race. It's so funny, and I don't even remember that happening. I don't remember her just popping out of nowhere. But she was kind of funny. And the thing is, we got a lot of her complaining, and I think we are going to continue to get that. But no one was complaining about her complaining. No one disagreed with what she was complaining about. And I think that bodes well for her, because if people were like, okay, you have this weird obsession with Natalie, chill out, like you're being too much, then I'd be very nervous for her. But no one is saying that. In fact, Dan told her about his idol. So clearly there are people who trust her. I think she's okay. I think next week she very well could rope someone the wrong way. And so this is more kind of an in advance thing. But I think at the moment she's actually kind of okay. But because the content around her could have been quote unquote seen as negative, I have her a little lower.
Yeah, I mean, I'm Natalia 15 because I just think, like, if they catch wind of like this hot people alliance of Cara, Dan, and Natalia, Natalie and Mike clearly are on the outside and they're going to try to like make something happen. If that's the only way they can get people to turn, maybe if they can get an Angelina, get Johnny Mundo, get some of these people onto their side, then you can just turn around and say, okay, let's get rid of Natalia, because she's probably the easiest one to boot out of that group. She's also like the most vocal. I think Natalia screams pre-merge to me, and I do think like she's funny and everything, but I just think that she screams pre-merge to me.
Yeah, I mean, I could get that. I could very well see that. I could see her like getting a whole Bradley thing. Like, she really just like takes this complaining and ups the ante, and then everyone's like, this is ridiculous, and then votes her out.
And at 16, I have Lyrsa.
Okay.
So there's her.
Do you want to cover more on her? Or do you think we?
No, I mean, I just think that she could be in trouble because, like I said, this tribe losing Pat as your first member, he literally was the strongest person that you have on that tribe, probably. So to lose that right away and also be going up against like Elias, that's tough. I mean, that's hard. If you lose again, maybe they just turn and say Lyrsa. Maybe she doesn't. Maybe she only has Elizabeth. Like, I don't know. Did she talk to like Gabby and Christian and Davey? Like, I don't know. So I think that she could be in some sort of trouble.
Yeah, I got to rewatch to see who interacted with who. But I think I really don't think there's that much. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we're looking for things that aren't there yet.
Probably.
But you know, that's what a predictions podcast is. That's exactly what a predictions podcast is. I have Alec at 16. There's really no reason he should be that low, and it did just accidentally happen. This isn't a TMZ thing. I think I'm going to probably have him like low-ish, but we really didn't get anything from him. Kind of like Jeremy, we got like one confessional from him, and I cannot even remember what it was about.
Yeah.
His hair is amazing, though. Yeah. It's really quite impressive. And he's also the love child of DJ Polly D and John Cena. saw that on the internet, and he is like a spitting image of them.
That's perfect. Yeah. I think Alex okay now, but I could see Alex going. Like, Alex, another one I think is going to end up being pre-merge. We didn't hear much from first episode, but you know, he'll be there. You know, I don't think he goes home this week. And then I go 17, Mike, 18, Natalie, 19, B. I think Mike and Natalie are still in trouble. I don't think the Goliaths are going to lose.
Right. Exactly.
Which is why I put B at 19. I'm kind of taking a guess on B. I'm just kind of throwing like out a name and hoping, but we'll see.
Yeah, I go Natalie at 17, Mike 18, and then Nick 19. So pretty much the exact same thing. Natalie, I think, very easily could get out of her standing as 17 in my personal power rankings. But I think just the fact that she already has a target on her back as being the one who like creeps in the corner and stares at people, it's not great. And it's very easy to fix. But I think there's already the Hot People Alliance. And I think Natalie is someone who self-admittedly likes to be in control. And so watching her adjust to that and seeing how she reacts to that will be very telling. I think she can very easily get out of this. But in terms of the first episode, wasn't fantastic. And then Mike, on the other hand, wasn't doing good things, but everyone was kind of like, oh, yeah, seems like something he would do. So at least get a little positivity around it. But he's also just in a – like, he's much lower to me just because of who he is.
Yeah. No, I think that – Mike was also putting a target on his back by running around looking for idols, which is a lot scarier than somebody who's just standing around. But at the same time, because Dan found the idol, maybe Dan won't be as scared. And then Kara and Natalia both know about that idol, so neither of them are going to be that scared.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that keeps Mike around a little bit longer if Natalie starts really annoying people.
Yeah, which she very well could. Yeah, this Natalie versus Natalia thing. First of all, they shouldn't even be on the same tribe because it's too much to say their names.
Oh my god, typing them in for the prop bet, which by the way, I ended up typing in all the prop bets. Yeah, that's right, intern. You know, that's right.
Take that, intern.
Take that. But I will say typing those in is brutal because it's just one letter off and you're just like duh duh duh.
And then it puts as soon as you type one thing wrong or even put a space after the name, it's like not like NA, it's not right.
Yeah.
Like you can figure out what you did wrong. This whole thing. So that's our power rankings.
Yeah, we flew through the power rankings. I'm looking over at some comments on the last YouTube video to see if there's anything that like we haven't talked about.
While you go into that, I can do a quick run through of prop bets that we hit.
Yeah, go wild.
Which we pretty much did. So Pat obviously was the first person out. Yes, he wasn't voted out, but he is still number 20. That's all. He's all over the place on people's boot lists. And then for prop bet, we had Dan finding a hidden immunity idol, Pat getting less than 5 votes. Nick had the most confessionals in the premiere, which like kind of sneakily happened, but he had 5. He had a good amount. Nick got a lot of love in that first episode. And then Pat had a confessional in every episode he's in, and Christian had the episode title. So pretty like standard amount for a premiere. I didn't post the standings this week because there are like 400 people who have the exact same score. So we're going to let this
four go. Is the high. So if you have 4 points, you're winning.
Yeah, you're doing great. So if you like next week or the week after, we'll start doing the rankings. Let me see what we got, Phil.
I have 0. You have 3.
Where did
but,
you
but you also had Mundo.
Oh, Christian.
Yeah, and you had Mundo as your
yeah, as my confessional. I was wrong about that guy.
Which I love because I feel like I can get him. I feel like I'm going to end up hitting whatever I have him with. So
what did you have? Who did you have most confessionals in the premiere?
Mike.
Okay. Yeah, I could see
and
that.
I don't feel like he stays around that long anyway. And then I had Pat as 10 or more confessionals in an episode, which is so hard to hit anyway, so I'll survive.
That is like such a tough one to hit.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's our power rankings. Anything come up in the comments that you wanted to cover?
Well, I mean, we can do the Lauren Munn one. Great job, Phil and Alexa. I enjoy what you have to talk about, what I have to say about Survivor. Phil, I work with your mom. She's a great person. yeah, I guess she's great at work. You know, like that's. Yeah,
but Phil hates her.
Yeah, exactly. I've never met the great one. but yeah, she's. I'm glad that my mom talking about me at work has gotten us more listeners. That's always positive, you know. Networking.
Start having our parents. Yes, start having our parents promote us.
I know. I got to get my mom to like make an announcement over the loudspeaker at her school.
Oh,
you know?
My God. This is so great. Follow at Survivor Specialist. They go on at unreasonable hours of the morning.
Right.
And we also got a comment from someone whose last name is the same as Jessica's. And this happens every season where, well, at first when we were young and innocent, we always thought it was that real person. And it wasn't. So Chris Noble actually wasn't hanging out in our live chat last season, which is so disappointing. But yeah, possibly Jessica's brother or father or male figure in her life said it was upsetting to her to rewatch that first episode. So hopefully this person keeps hanging around chatting with us. And then I think someone related to Allison just is listening too, because I saw someone with her last name liking our video. So we're getting a lot of love by third party friends.
That's what always ends up happening though. Like Michael's mom. That was the one. Like Michael like came up, he talked to me, he was very nice, but his mom was like, yes.
Moms like, love us.
Let's take this one from Gamer Girl with, when do you think the idol nullifier will come into play? When do you think that's going to come in? You think it's a merge type thing?
I think it's totally a merge thing. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know. I mean, it's probably going to be something that's hidden, or do you think that'll come out? Well, I guess it has to be hidden because there's no Ghost Island anymore. I hope they go back to putting idols in challenges, or like what they did with Michaela and Sarah and Game Changers, putting it in the sit out bench. Mm-hmm. To me, that's just so much more satisfying than everyone looking for idols, because it's become so saturated. Like everyone does it, and there's really no excitement to someone finding an idol anymore. So I like,
except for the way they did it in the premiere. That was really good.
That was true. Yeah. Very good point. So I like when they switch it up, but I think they're going to find these two, this David and the Goliath idol. And then they'll probably find another round of idols. And then the mm-hmm. nullifier will come in.
I agree. And so, I mean, that's really the only comment. I mean, everything else we've kind of talked about. And then mm-hmm. I guess like the only other thing is Alexa, we don't know when you'll be back. We don't know if you're going to be back during.
Yeah,
like, it won't be Wednesday for sure. Like Vaughn, it's going to be Vaughn on Wednesday.
Yeah, Phil and Vaughn will be recapping Wednesday, probably right after the episode. That's my assumption.
Yeah, I have to find out what time Vaughn wants to do, but yeah, probably right after East Coast.
And Phil and I were just chatting with this. There's a chance I'll be in LA for work next weekend, in which case Phil and I will actually be able to podcast together, which I think to this day we've still never done. Or if not, then I'll be in Milwaukee. So we're going to be kind of all over the place, at least for predictions. That's kind of only going to happen whenever we're available. But for recaps, those are going to stay the same. Vaughn is going to recap in my place. And honestly, he's probably going to do a better job than I could anyway. So enjoy that.
He'll make me look bad. But I mean, we're going to also have like maybe some other people coming on. Like we're trying to figure out, you know, who else, because Vaughn does lead like a busy lifestyle, but we got to figure out, you know, if Alexa's in LA, then we'll do the predictions together next week. Mm-hmm. If she's not in LA, then I'm not flying to Milwaukee to hang out with her. So
come hang.
Also, you know, you might have like 8 Super Bowls or whatever, but I just wanted to do this real quick in case you, because we didn't talk about this at all last week.
Oh, we didn't talk about that. That's true.
Like, yeah, I just had the hat sitting right here, and I was like, damn, I need to do this.
You can't even see your eyes.
I know. Well, I did that on purpose. I want everybody to see the logo. Anytime the Lions actually win a football game, especially against a team that's much better than them, especially when they're as awful as they are all the time, it's just so nice. And, like, I had to be, like, nice to Alexa the entire time, but I just sat there in disbelief.
You didn't have to be nice to me.
No, but like it was one of those where I'm hoping that the karma will rub off and they'll win more than 9 games for once. So, you can look.
That's good. You should be nice to me more often.
You know, I think it comes down to Sam Darnold just better than Tom Brady. But anyway,
Sam Darnold's hair, though.
Yeah, I know. See, that's the Alec. Alec, like, if you had to compare these people to like to other celebrities, Alec is Sam Darnold because the hair is just.
How does
so
he
perfect.
Fit that in that helmet? I'm not questioning.
Like, here's the thing. Sam Darnold takes his helmet off. He looks perfect. Alec, out on an island where, like, a guy almost breaks his back. There's, like, this monsoon. Hair is perfect. How does that happen? Like, how do people – like, my hair looks ridiculous right now. I took a shower 10 minutes ago. Like,
well, you put on that lion's hat. That usually does.
I did. But even before that, I looked like an idiot. Remember, Bradley called me out the one time, so.
Yeah, hair looks bad. Where are we going? And the Browns won a football game. Browns are 1-1-1.
Yeah, the Lions, Browns, and Bills all won in the same week for the first time since like 1943. So
since the NFL was the AFL.
Yeah, that's what happens when we try to drag this now out to like an hour at least, or at least close to an hour. We're trying to like drag this at least a little bit.
I forgot people don't like talking about football here.
I know, but you know what? When the Lions play the Patriots, you talk about the Patriots. You're wearing a Patriots shirt right now.
I currently am. I'm about to take – well, my parents are in town, and later today I'm going to take them to a rowdy Patriots bar. So please pray for me.
Oh, my God. All of the Boston accents. It's going to be wonderful.
Oh, my God. There's going to be so much Sam Adams there. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, there's, like, no Boston accents on this season.
That's, like, so okay. I feel there's always a Boston person every season, and that is Lyrsa, because Lyrsa currently lives in Boston. Mm. But I like it. I was actually just talking to my mom about this. They just play up the Boston people so much, and they play up the accent, and I'm very okay not hearing an aggressive Boston accent.
So many of them end up being good at the game, too. That's why it's like...
Yeah, exactly. Like
Jeremy won. He was from Boston. Boston Rob is Brett's from Boston. Boston made it really far. Good. You know, like everybody, like, so people in Boston tend to do pretty well, but maybe Lyrsa does well, but yeah, she definitely doesn't have a Boston accent.
No, she certainly does not. People would probably understand her less if she had a Boston accent.
Yeah. Exactly. But, all right, Alexa, do you want to like have like an epic like sign off? Cause I'm going to have to figure out how to sign off now going
oh,
in.
Yeah. So there's a lot of practice too. You usually start with something fairly snarky in reference to a joke that we made about 10 minutes ago. And then you say, Vaughn is going to come on as a special guest. He's going to celeb shop for me. I don't know when the next time I'm going to be on is. It's probably going to be for predictions, likely this weekend. But honestly, I don't know. And it really is messing everything up and feel like it's really mad at me. But it makes me feel kind of cool and also very needed. So in the meantime, make sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to us on YouTube. We're getting a lot of love on YouTube. We got our premiere recap almost has 5,000 views, which is pretty good. I think our Game Changers one was around the same, and that was a returning season. But yeah, Phil and Vaughn will be back Wednesday at 9, right after the East Coast episode. And I will see you guys soon.
Maybe.
But also never.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.